We are joined now by Northfield Chief of Police and noted anti-coffee activist, Jeff Schrepper. Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
Yeah, right away, throw me under the bus. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, all there, the coffee lovers come after me.
There's just some information in Jeff I should not be allowed to have. That's
No, it's fine. Like I said before we went on the air, that I love the smell of coffee, but can't stand the taste. So I've never been a coffee drinker. But
You know what? The thing is that coffee is one of those things. You either love it or you don't. Like I know plenty of people like you who just can't do coffee at all. I will mainline the stuff if I could, but it's
I'd probably have to dump so much sugar and cream and everything into it. And it's not even coffee anymore. So.
Yeah. So then I have a quick question for you. Since you're not a coffee drinker.
Yes, I like donuts.
Folks, we have the Chief of Police right here. If you want to say thank you during Police Week, bring him a donut right here, right now.
Other than donuts, do you use anything to get you going in the morning? Like, I know some people like to have a soda or something.
Yeah, I'm usually a caffeine guy, so soda, pop, whatever you want to call it for me is kind of my
going kind of thing. So you've got your caffeine fix going in the morning, just for not coffee. Cool. All right. Well, there you go. I mean,
or it's for me, if four cranky kids in the morning that, bring up the blood pressure and get me going a little bit.
That's plenty right there.
A little adrenaline in the system. Perfect.
I don't blame them. They have to get up early, and I wouldn't want to either. But so
there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Wow, four kids. You're a better man than me, man.
Like I said, my wife's a superhero and takes care of it. So.
She's a cop, too.
She is. She's in Egan.
So. Okay.
And the built-in psychological effect of having a detective and a police chief for parents. I mean, I wouldn't want to get away with it. I wouldn't even try. Be like, nope, I'm on their radar all the time.
Either that, or like you have one of them that's just incorrigible. Like just either for just to be a pure rebel, or just for the adrenaline of trying to get things past these outstanding authoritarian people.
I do feel sorry for the kids a little bit. I mean, they're very good kids,
of course,
overall. But at the end of the day, we've had comments back of, you're not letting us do this because you're both cops. It's like, well, that's kind of true. not to be helicopter parents, but it's one of those. It's like, we see the other side of things and some other sides of society. So
Police work is, it can be generational too. Do you think maybe any of your kids will go into law enforcement?
I could see one or two of them wanting to do it. And truly, it's one of those things where if you ask both my wife or I, if we want our kids to follow our footsteps, many times it's no, especially right now.
Yeah.
Historically, if you go back pre George Floyd, it would have been much different.
Right.
Nowadays, it's changed so much. It's a very rewarding job. I really enjoy what I do, but times have definitely changed.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that across the profession.
Well, you have to go into it very eyes wide open.
Right.
And, I think the best thing you can do is to be able to have someone that you know who can kind of give you that perspective. And also maybe, do some shadowing when you're older and stuff and really kind of get a feel for the day to day. So there you
Absolutely. Go. I mean, it's one of those things where we'll get people in the profession that have always wanted to be officers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been their lifelong dream, which is great. And then you'll get other ones that'll watch it on TV and be like, oh, that looks like a cool job. But it's not what you see on TV.
Right.
So
right.
To your point, it's one of those things where get out, do some ride-alongs, do some job shadowing. Realize really what you're getting into before you take that step and spend all that money on education and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm doing a terrible job recruiting here, I think.
No, you're not. you're being honest, which is what people look for from a cop. Right?
I think a lot of public service professions, police, teaching, medical professions, a lot of these things that can be very intense, I think it's very smart to say, hey, talk to people, job shadow, make sure you know. I mean, you're never gonna like really know until you kind of get into it, but at least try and get as much information as you can up front.
Absolutely. And I think that's where you see some of the hiring change now too, and it's a program that I'll look at for Northfield. It's one of those things where there's grants now starting last year, of it's a career transition grant where basically you have a degree in anything or currently working somewhere, you have to have at least a 2-year degree to do it. Mm-hmm. But working any other profession, we get the grant. We pay for your time to go to school. We pay for your schooling on that grant just as a career change. And across the state, there's different agencies doing it. Where I came from does it as well. And with the patrol, it's one of those things where you're getting some great officers that are having career changes at 30, 40 years old kind of thing coming in. It's like, okay, it's time for a change. It's like anybody. It's one of those things where, okay, I've done this long enough. I want to do something different, but what do I do? So here's an opportunity to say, we'll pay for your schooling and we'll pay for your time at school. And then when you're done, you have to basically sign an agreement with us. So,
yes.
I'm going to be 56 next month. Is it too late for me?
No, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
You probably don't want to do it at radio station.
Look, you were going to ask something, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say, with this program, if folks are interested and they want to like learn more about it, would they reach out to you at the station? Can they go online somewhere? What are their options?
So a couple different options. Well, first we get to see if the program comes back again this year based on the legislative session and the grant funding. So, but then, yeah, if it's something... where if I apply for the grant and receive the grant, I would surely come in here and advertise that, hey, we're getting this grant. We're going to have an opportunity for this career change. So off the top of my head, Faribault did it last year, or in the process right now. And I think they're added 4 officers through the program and see a lot more applicants for it because it's a career change.
There. Yeah,
sure.
So, yeah, I mean, the colleges for us are only putting out so many law enforcement students. So we have to start thinking outside of the box of where else can we find these applicants.
Yeah, right. So get a little more creative with it.
Right.
There you go.
Well, as we sort of mentioned, this is National Police Week, and today is the memorial?
Yep, today is Police Memorial Day. So.
Okay. I want to talk about what it is to be a police officer in the... I mean, we all see a cop and we want to say thank you, but I don't think we can't completely understand what it is you guys go through. But before I get there, what was it about law enforcement that made you want to be a police officer, Jeff?
So for me, it was interesting because it ties back to what we do here in Northfield as well. Is when I was in high school, we had the DARE program. And in that one, so I grew up small town, southwest Minnesota, Comfrey, which... we didn't have our own police department at the point that did DARE. So Springfield, nearby city, came over and taught our DARE. Well, it was the police chief that taught it. So as I'm in high school, my interest was piqued in law enforcement. I had conversations with the police chief and started helping him with DARE. So I help with DARE as we go, and then I applied for Alexandria Technical College to be an officer, and I'm going to college there. And the police chief told me, when you graduate, you come back and see me, I'll give you a job. And he held his word to it. So nice. I graduate, I come back, and that's where I started my police career.
That's fantastic.
So truly, it was DARE that got me into this, and just having that interaction with the police chief.
Yeah.
And just seeing what he does, how he worked in the community and in the schools.
Are you still in touch with him?
I am.
So he knows that. Look at you now.
Exactly. Right?
That's fantastic. So, cool.
Yeah, he's out of the profession now, but I'm still in touch with him. And,
being a cop's a tough job. I don't know anything about it, and from sitting right here, I can tell you, I know it's a tough job. What are the things that people don't maybe completely understand about being a cop that doesn't quite translate to the public?
It's one of those things that you can go from complete boredom to absolute worst day of your life as the one calling 911, but it can also be the worst day of our life as an officer. So, and you don't know, of course, when that time is coming, and you don't know that situation. So tying it back to being Police Week and specifically Police Memorial Day, you take the Burnsville incident.
Yeah.
So I hate to say a run-of-the-mill call for some of these things, but your domestic, which are typically the most dangerous for us to respond to, you get a domestic call, that could be your last call. So not knowing in the back of your mind what that call is going to be and what you're walking into could be your last call. And the same goes for your family as you walk out that door. They don't know if it's going to be the last time they see you. So just the games that plays on your mind and how you go about your day to day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think that's the hardest thing to realize is, yeah, we could, you could see a Northfield officer drive by here right now and look completely bored. But a lot of people also talk about we get paid for what we might have to do. So, and that might have to do is what we don't know.
Right.
So the unknown of that and that fear of the unknown, and but also knowing that any one of us at any given time wouldn't hesitate to go after that unknown and try and get a solution for it.
Yeah, you know, I walk out the door every morning and like the worst thing that might happen to me is someone might take offense to something I said and I'll get an angry letter, right? You guys, it's a whole different thing with you guys.
Well, we get angry letters as well. But
well, not to mention just the physical stress, because imagine going from just sitting there kind of, you know, maybe twiddling your thumbs because it's a really slow day, to all of a sudden going to a really crazy, highly stressful, intense situation, to go from 0 to 100 like that. I mean, I can only imagine what that does to you, and kind of, I'm sure some days you come home and you're just rattled.
Yeah, and it's, you're always kind of on edge. I mean, mm-hmm. you'll, if you watch me close, like if, when I walk out of this door today kind of thing, it's one of those, I step out the door and I'm kind of looking both ways and looking around of what's mm-hmm. going on around you, mm-hmm. where I'm sure you walk out the door and you're like, okay, I know from here to home.
Where's my car?
Yep, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you don't pay attention to your surroundings as much as we do because we're always kind of on edge.
Sure.
And while people can say, well, it's Northfield, what happens kind of thing. The hard part with that is a lot of what we do, we can't publicly talk about, mm-hmm. especially in those high severity, mm-hmm. for a combination of reasons. I mean, it's people's private lives. Mm-hmm. They don't call 911 thinking, I want everybody in the world to know why the police were at my house.
Right.
Right.
They don't want their private business known to everyone.
Right.
Yeah. And then the data practices laws as well.
Sure.
Says we can't talk about them. And we shouldn't. I mean, it's one of those things where, yes, the public, I want transparency. The public should know what's going on in our world. But we don't want to specifically talk about, hey, what's going on with Rich and Ryan kind of thing.
Right.
In their
right.
personal life.
Yeah.
There's a difference between what's going on, you know, what's public domain and what's not.
Exactly.
So,
you know, your predecessor, and I think Mahdi, too, even before that, did some good work with mental health and instituting some policies. And I know that you've worked with that and kept it going and at least maybe enhanced it. What can you tell us a little bit about the mental health side?
So, yeah, mental health is huge. I mean, not only for police, but our mental health calls as a police department, the calls we're responding to. Yeah. I mean, it's not exact numbers here, but I would say almost daily we're responding to mental health calls.
Mm.
So part of that, of course, and any call we respond to, if the traumatic calls take a toll on our mental health as well. So that's becoming more and more important in this job.
Mm-hmm.
It should have always been important, but years ago, even back when I first started early in my career, it was like you'd go to some horrific scene and see some things that most people would never see in their life, and we see it quite often. It was one of those things like, you know, suck it up, go do the job.
Yeah.
And it just brushed under the rug. If it bothered you, I mean, you were basically chastised about that.
Yeah.
Thankfully, times have changed. So we care much more about mental health and pay much more attention to it. We do things like therapy check-ins. Every officer has to sit down with a therapist every single year for check-ins. There's continued check-ins that they're allowed to have that the department pays for, and it's all confidential. I don't get any report back. But then I'm looking at things also like I want to do a therapy dog here.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's one of my things I've kind of been mentioning as I go is getting a therapy dog. Truly with how I've feel the community is here, I think it would be on donations covered.
Yep.
And then there's organizations like Soldier 6 that will provide all the training for free.
Wow.
So it's merely just getting that dog. And then I want to take it even further. So have the dog for the officers. Have that dog in the office, so if somebody's having a hard day, whether it's work-related, home, whatever, home stress can take its toll on our work life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a difference there. So having that dog available to just wander around the office, hang with whichever officer needs it or office staff, anything like that. But then once that dog is up and training and running long enough, bring it out into the community mm-hmm. as well. Because, like I said, I fully feel the community will support it.
Yeah.
So if we can use it at schools, if we can use it on the street for crisis calls, anything like that.
Just right.
Using it in a combination. So.
So I've got a couple of things to say to that. Number one, I have three dogs, so you let me know.
Which one I want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can just pick one. Because they're all three super sweet, and they would love it. They could, if they had it where they could just spend all day, every day getting petted, that would be the dream. Number two, that dog is probably, whenever you get that dog, they're probably going to have their own like Instagram or TikTok.
Probably.
I hope you start making social media videos with the police officers with the dog.
That dog will be the most popular Northfielder going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And you want to see an officer's soft spot. I guarantee there will be some that you see him out on the street, big tough cop.
Right.
But if you'd see him behind the scenes in the office with a dog or cat, whatever it would be, a kind of thing. Right. I mean, there's not many therapy cats out there, but sorry to the cat lovers, but
they're just not wired for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. I mean, well, the first thing I want to say is when you are ready to start that campaign, looking for donations, please let us know, because we will stand in great support for that. And we will let people know all the time.
Appreciate it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So just a couple of minutes left. Is there a ceremony in St. Paul tonight?
Yeah, so there's a few ceremonies around the entire state. So there is 24-hour standing in the guard in St. Paul at the Capitol at the Police Memorial. That is going on now, so that runs for 24 hours. There is a ceremony tonight also at the memorial. And then the other side, on a federal level, you have Burnsville Police Department, which all traveled out to Washington, D.C. for their lost officers to be added to the memorial wall there and have that ceremony. In fact, on that, we have Northfield officers coming in Burnsville this week while they're gone, so they can attend that. So.
Right, right. Northfield cops covered Burnsville during that for a couple of days during that, after the funeral, too.
Yeah, so the initial... After the initial incident happened, we had some coverage there and during the funeral.
Yeah.
And then now this week we have officers there.
Well, it's all week. So. It's fantastic to see you guys, departments working together like that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear all the time when you watch TV, it's a brotherhood, right? But that actually is the case, isn't it?
Very much so, and especially when you have tragic incidents like this. So 2024 was... very tragic year for us. We lost a lot of officers in Minnesota, and we lost three to gun violence. The number of officers lost to gun violence in 2024 was the most in 42 years.
Wow. Mm.
So it's a concerning trend.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, how do we get ahead of that? How do we prevent that? And so.
Well, I just want to say on behalf of everyone here at KYMN, thank you. To you, Jeff, and thank you to everyone in the department. You're a great guy. There are great, great people in this in our police department, and Northfield PD is something that all Northfielders should be proud of. And thank you for that.
And we appreciate the support. And I think for the listeners, if they want to know what they can do for to support us, just the simple thank yous when you see an officer on the street or in a business or wherever it may be, it's. You don't realize how far that goes for us. Just that simple thank you for what you're doing can be that, and that alone will be a huge help. So, and we appreciate it and appreciate the support of the community.
Well, but don't necessarily hug a cop without permission.
There's some that, you get a guy like Thad.
Yeah,
he would hug you.
Oh, of course he would.
I mean, he might not be comfortable with someone, but he'd still do it. So.
I've been joking for a couple of days, it's hug a cop week, and Ryan's always like, no.
We were talking about that earlier, and I'm like, not everyone wants to hug. Maybe just a fist bump, a wave, whatever. Yeah. No,
most probably would accept it, but it's one of those, you might get a goofy look. But
hug with consent.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Jeff Sharper, Northfield Chief of Police. Thanks, man.